Okay, we're about to embark upon a new sugya, but it's really the third part of the sugya of those five famous words. Baruch Hashem for that short, the very quick message from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. Shalchem itam kosvo al isurei hana'a kosher. How many words? Five words. So we already spoke a lot about how did that impact on the din of Nesin Nepach Zeshur Pruta. That was sugya number one. Then we spoke a little bit about how does that impact on the Sina Berzakhano, that's sugya number two. And now we finally get to sugya number three of that five word message. And that is a question that is posed by the Ran, a very, very famous question that's posed by the Ran in our sugya, which is going to set off into a whole array of different issues, all different sugyas flying all over the place, about the following halachic principle. So the halachic principle that's about to play out in our sugya is based on a Gemara that appears in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, as well as in Maseches Sukkah. It's implied in some other places, but two real, real main sugyas are Rosh Hashanah and Sukkah. But the Gemara introduces the following. We know that very often the halacha requires that a cheftza have a shir. Different cheftzas require different shirim. Some cheftzas require no shirim. But certain chafatzim require a shir. And whenever there's a halacha that somebody requires a shir, so all of a sudden we raise the following three magic words called Kisusei Nechta Shiurim. We spoke a little bit about it, dropped some hints about it the last sugya, but now it's about to become a real sugya for us. There's a principle called Kisusei Mechta Shiurim, that when something is Omed Lekach to be destroyed, particularly Omed Lekach to be burnt, so we almost view it as if it's already burnt, it's already into a pile of ashes, it's no longer a Cheftza intact right now, it's a pile of ashes. And as a pile of ashes, it's chaser in the shir. So whenever the halacha requires a shir, so all of a sudden those three magic words kick in, and it's considered to be ksus mechshir. We spoke a lot about this with the machlokes deriving in the Ritva about an esuk she'orla, but that principle ksus mechshir appears explicitly in Rosh Hashanah Daf Tav Ches in the context of a shofar. Shofar has a shir to it. Ksus mechta shiure. You can't blow a shofar that's omer the kach to be nisraf. It appears in the Gemara in the context of a lulav. A lulav has a shir to it, and therefore, if it's a ksusim et teshire problem, you wouldn't be able to be right. It's pretty clear in the Gemara that this is a principle in the Torah. This is considered to be a deraisa concept, that this is somehow b'chus hashir. This is somehow lacking in the shir, the three magic words called ksusim et teshire. Maybe could you get it back on? Okay. With this principle of Ksusei Mechta Shiurei that led the Ran to formulate his famous question in Sugya. So we take a look at the Maamar Koimus, the Ran, the third of Maamar Koimus. Shalchem itam kosvo al isurei hana'a kosher. B'chol isurei hana'a kamri. When the Gemara says kosvo al isurei hana'a kosher, the Gemara does not differentiate between different kinds of isurei hana'a. And therefore, included on this list are those which are Ksusei Mechta Shiurei. Now, we have absolutely no idea from the Ran which ones would have been subject to the rules of Ksusia, which were not. So we have to, a lot of work to do on that. But right now, the Ran is telling us that the klal, the message from Eretz Yisrael, that cryptic message, was all-encompassing. Says the Ran, from the fact that the Gemara does not differentiate which is Syria and kosher, which are not, it is clear that the principle of Ksusia is not relevant when it comes to a get. Why is that? Very, very simple. Because that principle is El Bemidia de Ba'ushir. That principle, as its name connotes, Kesusim Echta Shire. Some chafatzim require a shir, others don't. So which are chafatzim that require a shir? Kishofar, we know the Gemara tells us explicitly, the shir of a shofar. The lulav, that's the Gemara Masechta Sukkah, there are shirim. In contrast to a what? To a get, which there is no halacha of Kesusim Echta Shire on. Because quite frankly, there is no shear of how big the get has to be. Well, obviously, it has to be big enough to write on. That's true. But if you have really, really tiny, you know, handwriting, as we saw the Seder get yesterday, so if you have a real crackerjack sefer, who can put together a get on a piece of paper that big, so good. So there is no shear of over. The maisa, you have to have a get. So if it's not big enough to house the words, it's not going to be kosher. That's not a shear in halacha. And therefore, this measure doesn't make any sense. And the Ran goes on to a whole other digression, which we're not going to talk about right now, maybe a little bit later. But that's the basic thrust of the Ran. The Ksusim et Teshurah Kishma Keinu only applies to Dvarim Shal Shir, and the two items that have Shirim are Shofar and Lulav. The one item that doesn't have a Shir is a Get. Yeah, Jeremy. So we're going to try to show throughout today's discussion of this topic is that not all shiurim are created equal. That the term shiur in halacha, a measurement, a size, a definite amount of something, so not all shiurim are the same, and not all shiurim lend themselves even to the principle of sisimet the shiurim. So we really, if we were drawing, if we had some markers, and we had a blackboard, we have board maps, we don't have, we don't need any markers, it's okay. We would have two extremes on the board. We would have those areas of halacha that have a shear that lends itself to sisimet the shiurim, those are shofar and lulav, those are two cases in the Gemara. They'd be all the way in one end. Then you'd have a chayfa that doesn't have any shear to it whatsoever, which is a get, that's all the way on the other end. And then you can have a lot of gray in the middle, as we've said many, many times in life. The blacks and the whites are easy. You know, the extreme rights, extreme lefts are easy to understand. Not always true, but easy to understand. When you start to get nuanced, you start to get different vibes, something in the middle, it has a little bit of a shear, not a real shear, so it's kind of a shear, this kind of a shear, that kind of a shear. That's where the sugya is going to get very, very tricky. And we're going to try to navigate through the different parts of the spectrum. So we have, on one end, we have the shofar lulav. That's easy. You don't need me for that. Those are two gemaras. The get is really simple. That's the rad. You don't need, that's a dia from our gemara, getting the chav. Everything else is going to be a little bit tricky. So what is going to be everything else? What are some good examples of everything else? So of course, the sugya really begins with a very, very fascinating discussion that appears in Maseches Yevamos, the Daf Kuf Gimel. It's very hard to... It's very, very hard to call this a halacha l'maisa sugya. I mean, it does appear in Shulchan Aruch. It could potentially be l'maisa. This is probably a little closer to that area of Torah called Nishma rather than Nasa. We talked a little bit about those who were there in our alumni discussion. I think we had that yesterday. So here we have a sugya where the Gemara talks about something which at first glance is so absurd and so bizarre and so l'oyle l'adas, but yet, the halakhic principles behind it are so profound and so basic, and ultimately it's going to be the most bizarre cases that's going to help us understand the halakhic principles. So we have to always not fall into the trap of people who are, have a very, very simplistic understanding to learning. So they always fall into that trap. But they're the kind of people who get very, very nervous when they see Gemara's talking about making sukkahs out of elephants, and they see putting people into boxes and throwing them over cemeteries. The other people will get very, snickering about those kinds of things. But a little bit more mature in learning, understand that Chazal will create these, almost like these balloons, will create these bizarre, crazy, nutcase scenarios just to highlight some of a very, very important halachic principle. So this is a good example of this, a very, very, very lomdish Gemara in Maseches Yevamos, Nafkuf Gimel Amud Beis, about the following. About we're trying to do a chalitza, and of course, in order to do a chalitza, we need a shoe. The chotzen lo mi araglo. So the only shoe that you have available, all the shoe stores are off. Some Amazon's not sending any shoes. Nobody's any shoes anymore. The only shoes that we have are one of two possible shoes. We have a shoe of tikroves of avodah zarah. That galach brought this shoe as a gift to an idol at the one time. And it was Nikrov as a korban to the idol, and then somebody got my hands on it, and dust the shoe that the Bezin is using for Chalitza. That's number one. So I ask you between the days of Moshe Rabbeinu and today, how many times do you think that happened? I put it at an absolute zero, right? Negative zero. Okay, zero. Not in a shadow. All right? The second one, Bishal Yoni Dachas, even better, we outdid ourselves. You get a shoe from Yoni Dachas. Oh, just as we finished Yoni Dachas, quickly get all the shoes out of the Yeridachas and let's go bring them to the Beis and use for Chalitza. So again, so the immature ones among us will say, come on, give me a break. Yeridachas Ohev Lo Yiyah, so what are you wasting your time for? Tyra Hilav Avdei Nitzarech. I know the din, you have to understand the Halachic principle behind it. So I have a shoe of Tikrovis of Edizar, or a shoe of Yeridachas, or a Zokah in Shasol Chvaida. That's a shoe of Tachrichim. We're not even going to talk about that. That's too close to, we're too close to reality. We don't talk about that. So comes the Gemara and says, Lo tachlots, v'imchotza chalitzas apsula. You're not allowed to use the shoes of Tikrovis of Adazar, you're not allowed to use the shoe of Yoni Dachas, and if you do, the chalitzas psula. Why is the chalitzas psula? So what did the person violate by using the shoes of Avedizara or of Yoni, of Tikrovis or Yoni Dachas? What potential is it that the person have violated? Maybe, not even sure. What's like the worst thing we can call him? What flagrant violation did he do? What prohibition did he violate? And he was Nana Me'avad Azar. That's like the worst thing we could say. Hey, you were Nana Me'avad Azar. You were Nana Fyodi Dachas. Now, I'm not even sure that that's true. You know why I'm not sure that's true? Because in the back of our minds, we all remember that if I have, let's say, a shofar shall Isra Hanah, or I have a lulav shall Isra Hanah, so we're not so worried necessarily so fast about the Isra of being Nana Me'avad Azar. Why am I not so worried about that? Because what four words cover the day? Now, I'm really jumping ahead of myself whether chalitz would even be subject to that rule. I don't want to talk about that yet. But I just want to highlight the fact that when you see this Gemara, that lo tachlos im chotzal chatzal sapsula, like the worst scenario we can conjure up in our minds is that this guy is a balaveira, that he violated the din of being nenem ebed azar. That's the worst case scenario, and probably even that's not true. Probably there was no issue being nenem ebed azar, but I don't even want to talk about that. I want to talk about the much more serious problem is why chalitz al sapsula? What was? Let's get some chalitz. Did anyone open a Pashas Kisei today? V'chaltso na'alo me'al raglo. That's all Torah says. Fourth. V'chaltso na'alo me'al raglo. Did she take the shoe off? Just answer the question. V'chaltso. Did she take it off? No one answered that one. The guy's wearing a Zohar shoe, nearly Dapa shoe. Did she take it off? Is it a shoe? It's not a shoe. It's not a shoe. I don't mean to be graphic, Rabbi said, but it's a shoe. It's on my foot. It's on my foot. The fact that it has a big picture of an idol on it, like, where's the food not being a shoe? Who says that a shoe?
Doesn't do what a shoe does. It helps you walk places.
What does a shoe do?
Helps you walk places.
It's a very enjoyable walk, I'm thinking, on top of the idol shoe. It's very soft. It's very comfortable. Next, yeah? Okay. Okay. Yeah, I'm still waiting. Oh, that's what I set the bait, and finally Jeremy tugged at the bait, and he's about to get himself reeled in. So Jeremy said exactly what I was hoping someone was going to say this. I was really psyched off of this one. Jeremy says, what do you mean? It's not his. Terry says, it's not his. Why is it not his? Oh, really? Dvama Surbanor, not yours? Really? Good morning, right? Right? Good morning, America. Dvama Surbanor is not yours? I know someone who would question that statement. I think it shows vaguely from the last sugya would question that statement. But besides that, who says you have to own the shoe? The Pasuk, the Chumash says it. No, his shoe. So the Gemara Masechet Yevamah says, by the way, you don't have to actually own the shoe. Because it says, although it says V'chaltza Na'alo, it also says Beis Chalutza Na'al. So the word Hana'al comes to Rabbos, even if it's not your shoe. So why does it say Na'alo? Na'alo just teaches us that it has to fit. It has to be something that's royal kach in his foot. Let's say this guy's, he wears a size 16 shoe and he's trying to stuff on a size 8.5 on his big toe. So that's not Na'alo. But let's say the guy is a size 7 and he's wearing who's a big basketball player. And a big foot. What?
Shaquille O'Neal.
Shaq? Okay. Yeah, Shaq. So he's got he does get married tomorrow night.
Huh?
He does get married tomorrow night. Shaq. Who had old NCS Wild? Shaq's even tomorrow night. Yeah. Michael Freeman, he's an old NCSY, yeah, he's old NCSY Madrid, so he was always called Shaq. Yeah. Right? He's getting mad to him. So so let's say a guy's we're the size 8, and the best they can send him, they send him by mistake from we wanted some shoes on Amazon, they sent him size 16 by mistake. So if it's 18, they thought it said 18 on the side instead of an 8. He starts walking, the shoe falls off. That's Nishke Na'aloi. The fact he doesn't own the shoe, that doesn't matter. So we have two strikes against Jeremy. Number one, he probably does own the Dabra Osvano. And number two is that even if he doesn't own it, doesn't really matter because you don't have to own the shoe. What Jeremy probably meant in the back of his mind was he was mechaving to the Gemara Yevamos that says that when we do a chalitza lechatchila, we actually give the shoe to the Yavam to own. Anyone saw the Sidra get yesterday? We handed over the stuff. Everyone was all excited about being mocked at the ink and the paper. Everyone saw that. So by get, that's a machlekes rishon. By chalitza, everyone agrees. Everyone agrees by chalitza, they actually mocked the shoe to the yavam. Why do you do that? The Yavam doesn't have to own it. Why are you mapping him? Most of the favors that zil achliyeh right before you do the chalitza, so you make a kinyan on the shoe for the Yavam one. You don't have to own the shoe. So the Ritva in Yavamas writes two reasons. One reason the Ritva writes is it's a gezeira de rabbanan because we're afraid that if he doesn't own the shoe, so then people make by mistake, they'll have the wrong size shoe. So this is going to remind us. We have to think, our mindset is, it's got to be his shoe, and then we're going to realize, ooh, by golly, if it doesn't fit, no one would have a shoe that's not their size. So it's just a chumra midrabanan, lechatchila midrabanan, not even midiyav, lechatchila midrabanan, to remind us to make sure that the shoe fits. That's one day in the Ritva. The other day in the Ritva is a fascinating, both ends are fascinating, the second is even more fascinating. The Ritva writes that, even though the Teresh HaPeh says, base chalutz hanal, that hanal is riba, even if it's not his shoe, but since the Torah b'chsav says b'chalutza na'alo, and na'alo has the connotation of being his, mitzvah l'kayim pshuta shel mikra. It's the right thing to do, l'chadchila, hashas with the rabbanim, mitzvah l'kayim pshuta, we're supposed to try to do it. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrote it that way, even though the Elibid the MS in the world of pure halacha, so Teshuva Peh explains to us that the evidence good even when it's not his, but if HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want you to own the shoe lechatchila, he wouldn't have written the Torah Kadosh that way. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu put words into the Torah Shemachsav to be Magal, that's almost like a little bit like what the Ratzon is, like the MS Tziv, like the Mitzvah Torah, and Shulchan Aruch, you don't really have to own the shoe, but if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrote the Torah Shemachsav, that nuance of Chaltzon Alo, so then lechatchila you have to own the shoe. Achidish Gobel from the Rizvah, I'm sure, wow, but Achidish from the Hilgir Rizvah. Anyone know the Nafkimin Ladina for that? Another area of Allah, some Achwarim quote an interesting Chumrah. The Gemara says in Sukkah that even though the Torah says that when you take a Ravis and Sukkahs, the Torah says Arbe Nachal, they have to grow by the brook, by the water. The din is b'diav, they don't have to. If you plant a Ravis in a burger field, no one near the Hackensack River, you also you'd say. So some Achwarim rat, the Chachili should get a Ravis that grow by the water, based on this Rizvah. That if the Torah says Arbe Nachal, they go as a drasha, Arbe Nachal b'komochom. That even if they don't go by the Nachal, they're also okay. But since the Torah writes Arbe Nachal, so that's the Galatas, that Kadosh Baruch Hu really wants a little bit, there should be Arbe Nachal. It's better, lechatchila, there should be Arbe Nachal. That's a very, very fascinating idea. You have to know when you say that, when you don't say that. Well, you wouldn't say that the Torah says Ayin Tachas Ayin. So Teshuva HaPeh says, you don't really have to take out the guy's eye, but I want to be from, I want to be mechavin to the Ratz of Kabbalah, I'm going to poke the guy's eye out. So some of that you wouldn't say. So you have to be smart and figure out, you know, let's say the Torah says Brachos HaShabbos, so Shabbos doesn't mean Saturday, it means Tuesday, whatever it means, first day Yontif. I want to be from, like the Tztukim, I want to be extra machmir, that Shavuot should only be in a Sunday. So that's apikorsis. So we have to know, sometimes it's a chumra and sometimes it's apikorsis. You have to be smart enough to figure out the difference. Okay, fine. So the bottom line is that whatever Jeremy said is wrong. The bottom line is that that's not the next Purim line. That's not the reason why a Sadlo Shel Aved Zara is no good. A Sadlo Shel Aved Zara is no good. So why is it no good? So Rashi in the spot says, I'll tell you why it's no good. Rashi says, because it's going to be destroyed. Why is it going to be destroyed? There is no way ever to salvage a sandal shel tikrovus v'adazar or a sandal shel yonidachas. This is in contrast to a sandal shel avedazar proper. Let's say if a person bows down to a shoe. The guy has this belief, somehow he's a real, he thought and thought, really philosophized, he came to the realization that this sneaker created the world. He's convinced that, that's a good sneaker company.
Sneakers.
We had him, we took care of it. So, Nike, right? Nike. So he's convinced that this Nike shoe is the Bari Olam, and he bowed down to it, he brings a carbon to it, he pours wine to it, and did a whole 9 yards. So he's oivate the Nike sneaker. And then they decide they want to use that Nike sneaker for Chalitza, so that's okay. But that's okay. Why? Because that Nike sneaker is not susumech to shurin. Because in theory, you can get another guy to come and say, wait a second, that first guy, he's a meshugana. He worships Nike sneakers. I'm a nutcase. Let me show you what you do with a Nike sneaker. He takes it, throws it on the floor, spits on it, and jumps on it, and puts it on, and shoots a couple hoops with it. He shows it. And he didn't create the world. Nike sneakers, not the burial. So that's what's called Bittel of Avodah Zarah. So since a Dover that was Nevad is Nitan to Bittel, So you can't take Ksusa B'Nefesh. Ksusa B'Nefesh, that's your concept, that image that it's going to be burnt, it's got to be burnt, there's no salvation, no way to salvage, zero, no way to save this item. So even though that's the general rule that you can be Mevatel of Zara, but you cannot be Mevatel to crave this Avodah Zarah. There's a call, something brothers are from Sukkim, that something that was brought as a gift of Avodah Zarah, that's not subject to Bittul. Why? I don't know, it's the Baruch Shalom's rules. And something from an Yoni Dachas is not subject to Bittul either. But if it's just regular, low level of Avodah Zarah, so then easy come, easy go. But the Isser was brought about through simply worshipping it, so as long as another guy comes along, can be Mevatel. The other guy, by the way, has to be an Ovid of Avodah Zarah himself. Let's say, give me a good guy's name. Yeah, good Ovid of Avodah Zarah. Caesar. So Caesar comes and he bows down to Nike, all right? So it's like, poor. Caesar bows down to Nike. So that shoe becomes also Hanom Midaraisa, so, because that's a Dovashal of Avodah Zarah. So now another guy comes. So who's, give me another guy. Give me a guy that could believe him, you know, a firm guy. Not Ovid of Avodah Zarah. Good name. Nice sound of Mike.
Francis.
Lewis. So Lewis comes. Sure. So Lewis himself comes. And Lewis, we asked Lewis, you know, what's your religious take on the world? I believe only in the Baruch Shem of Oretz. I'm not a bit of a Zara. I believe in the Kaddish Baruch Hu. So Lewis cannot be a Mavatl of a Zara. He has no Shaykhus of a Zara. But a Zara means someone who's really holding it of a Zara, so he can be Mavatl of a Zara. So you have to find someone who believes in Avodah Zarah, but he doesn't believe in Nike. So you find another Meshuggah. It could be another Meshuggah. Who? Could be another Meshuggah.
James.
So James comes and says, I don't bow down to Nike. Nike, it's not a joke. That's not a god. He said, you want to know the real Kedai to bow down to? I'll tell you who I bow down to. Give me something else.
Adidas.
I need another item. Another item. Give me another item. I bow down. This Meshuggah bows down. He's a basketball player. He bows down tonight. I bow down only to a football. So this is my guy. He said, I put this on a pedestal, a pigskin, a little thing on it. You know, this is the Baruch Shem Ibar. This is it. You know, as we said yesterday, this is it. So I bow down. He bows down to the football. So I believe in a football, but I don't believe in Nike. So I'm going to be Bavatel Nike. That's called Bittul of Avodah. Fine. So the bottom line is that regular Avodah Zarah is nitan to Bittul, and as such, so it's not subject to Susa Mertashire. But to Kravis and Yoni Dachas, which is not subject to Bittul, that is subject to Susa Mertashire. So Rashi says that's what's going on in Maseches Yevamos. But the Gemara says that if you do Chalitza with a Tikravis or Yoni Dachas, it's no good Susa Mertashire. What's the Shir exactly? What's the Shir that we're discussing Susa Mertashire? What's the Shir? Shoe's got to fit. It's got to be a certain size. It's got to be size 8. For the person who has a size 8 foot. It's got to be size 12. The guy's got a size 12 foot. It's got to be a 9 medium. The guy's got a 9 medium size foot. So that's the shear that Rashi is learning. It's got to be something that's chayfes rov ragloi. It's got to cover up most of his foot. The yochel halachba. It's got to be able to physically walk with it. So that's the shear. So Rashi at the Zok, that's why Ksusabek the Shirei applies, and that's what's going on in this Gemara. However, there's a little bit of a catch in this statement. Because there were actually three statements in the fourth of the Rabbakovas that were lumped together in one sentence. What were they? There was the Kravis of a Dezara, Yershal Irni Dachas, and a Zokin Asul Chvaydai. What's a Zokin Asul Chvaydai? What do we say? Techrichin. It was made for an old person to be used, Lechavad, Echavarez Mishana. That's the phrase Chazal used to describe Techrichin. So the Gemara says that if a shoe was designated to be used as tachrich, it's not also banoya. If it was already used as tachrichim, it becomes, once it's on the mace, it becomes also banoya like the mace himself. But it wasn't used yet. So it's sitting in the Chavar Kedisha's, closet, ready to be used at the next Levaya. And before they get around to somebody dying, so they decide to run a chalitza with this first. So the Gemara said that's no good. So why is that no good? What's wrong with the... It's not also banoya. So let's just make sure what's wrong with that. So the Gemara gave a whole different svara. What was the other svara? It's lovely hilucha of it. It's not only the kach to walk with. It means no one's ever going to walk with this shoe. No one's ever going to use this shoe. The dead person's not going to walk. So says the Gemara, that's a different part. It's nothing to do with the first two halachas. The first two halachas are examples of shoes that can be worn, maybe worn. People do walk in them. It's just that they are Chisarin and the Shiach says Bechshirei. Whereas the Techarichim, which are Zogar and Asl Chvaydai, it's a different Chisarin Lagamri. It's a Chisarin of, you can't call something a shoe that's not Aymed Lekach to be worn, to be walked with. So it's a little bit strange, almost texturally, what just happened in the Gemara. What's strange what happened in the Gemara, by the way? Yeah, we said all three of them, but they have nothing to do with each other. Two out of the three are based on Shizbek Shur, and one's based on Zachar Lichvodai. So that's basically what Ravina kind of picked up on. On the fourth day of the Ramah, back in the Gemara said three dinim. Omer Ravina of Ashi, Maishna Zachar Lichvodai, Lavli Luchavid. So Ravina seemed to pick up on that idea that Taka, only one of the three is based on Lavli Luchavid. So if you open up the Rambam in the fifth Gemara Mekomis, you get an entirely different picture of the sugya. Aval sandal shot the krevis of edizara, v'shel yerni dachas, o shenasa lemeishi kovaboy. I already have a problem with the Rambam. What's my problem? He groups them all together. So some of the Rambam had apparently a slightly different gear, so some nuance of a change in the text that we have in Agamara seemingly. And the Rambam, unlike Rashi, who highlights the fact that two of these things attack are not based on Lavli Hilochavit, they're based on a different part of Sizbech Tishurei, the Rambam totally ignores the distinction and lumps them all three together. So what's the reason for all three, says the Rambam? Why? Because it's not Eimid L'Halach Boy. Why is it not Eimid L'Halach Boy? Why is Avodah Zarah not Eimid L'Halach Boy? Why is Tikkun Dachta Eimid L'Halach Boy? What's the answer? Because you're not allowed to be on a L'Halach Boy. And therefore, the halacha of defining whether an item can be used or not is not just looked at through the lens of the Metzias. It's not just a question we ask the shoe stores. It's something that we ask in the Beis Spanish also. We walk in the Beis Spanish with this shoe, and we ask the Talmud Chacham and say, is this shoe called a shoe? Is this called the Dava Ha'asil HaHalach Bayana? So the non-Talmud Chacham, the shoeman, the shoemaker, or the shoe salesman, looks at him and says, what's wrong with the shoe? It fits. It's good. What's the problem with the shoe? I understand the tachrichim shoe. You know, the Am Arts, the shoe man looks at it and says, it's tachrichim. Who's going to wear tachrichim? You can't just say, you know, a guy's running, you know, low on clothing, so wear some tachrichim. You know, that doesn't, people don't do that. It's sitting in the Chevra Kedisha's closet. No one's going to wear it. Lemaisa, Metzias, it's ichi. This is made for tachrichim. No one's going to wear this. But the halachically, the halachically problematic shoe that it was worshipped and it was used for the kravis, it came from Yerni Dachas, to the average balabos, what's the problem? So what's the chiddush in the Rambam? It's a gevaldik chiddush from Rambam. No? How are we bagdir whether something is oimed lehiluch? Everyone agrees, kliyam aloplikit is a din of oimed lehiluch. Everyone agrees that's the reason why the tachrichim is no good. That's a din of deraisa. That part of the definition of a shoe is not just something that fits around your foot, but it has to be oimed lehalicha. So the Rambam is gevaldik chiddush that part of the definition of oimed lehalicha can be defined not just rabbi say what, post what, but rather pre also what. Not just post 3 o'clock like in your shoemaking classes. Like, is there a shoemaking major in YU? Not yet. Okay. So if you would go to shoemaking school, there are no shoemakers. Everyone knows, but there are no students as a shoemaker anymore.
No one in
Muncie
who can like fix stuff.
There's like one shoemaker left in the world besides one of Monsieur. Who's that? He still fixes it. There's the Sandlar in Meir Shorim. One guy. The one guy. That guy has been around since the days of the Turks. He's been around. He's been fixing shoes since. Why are there no shoemakers anymore? Who fixes anything? There's nothing anymore. There's nothing. Nobody fixes anything anymore. That's part of our biggest problem in our society, is that nobody fixes anything. Now, it doesn't make a difference that you don't fix your shoes, you don't fix anything else, but the problem is that it seeps into what? It seeps into our entire worldview. Nobody fixes anything anymore. Nobody fixes relationships anymore. Nobody works on things anymore. We live in a world of instant gratification. And if it's broken, so just throw it out, because it'll be a cheaper one on Amazon anyway. That's a big, big problem. That mindset has seeped into our whole Mahalach Menam L'Chaveiro. People don't work on things anymore. That's why marriages are... nobody works on them. Nobody tries to fix them. Nobody tries to work on problems. Easy come, easy go. So it's a big, 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 big problem. Anyway, but sideshow. Back to the regular scheduled program. So the Rambam is a gewaltige chiddush. That defining what's called a non-usable shoe, the world of the Beis Medrash kicks in also. And has what to say. And if it's not usable for halachic reason, that's called not usable. Rashi, who did not say that. Rashi had to go search for another reason. Rashi apparently held that the fact that it's not usable because the halacha says you can't do it, that is not enough to declare it to be not usable. And therefore Rashi had to go searching and fishing and came up with the reason of Ksusa Mechta Shiure. So that's a fascinating machlokes Rashi in the Rambam, within the details to be magdi, this halachic concept that everybody buys into to some degree, called a walkable, usable shoe. Is this something the shoemakers decide, or something the Beis Medrash they decide? This is something we've had so many times over in halacha. We just had in the last sugya. Who remembers? Which great achron went out on a limb and extended a concept of not usable, but not accessible, right? Not available, right? Not controlled. The choice. Remember, everyone agrees that something. I mean, everyone, all Balmors agree. There's a concept called Eino B'Shuso. But we're not so sure what Eino B'Shuso means. Does Eino B'Shuso mean because somebody physically stole it from me, so I can't get it in Olam Hazeh? Or is it, what if it's not accessible because the Kodesh Baruch Hu said it's Aser? Is that also created Eino B'Shuso? So this is a repeating theme through a whole array of sugyas and shas about, it really all boils down to one Rashi and Chumash. Anyone know? It's a trivia question. One Rashi and Chumash. How do you define that ability? How do you define able to do things? The Rashi Bash Vayelech, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Lo'uchal od lotzeis v'lavo. Moshe Rabbeinu says in the day that he's about to die that, I'm really kach anymore. Lo'uchal od lotzeis v'lavo. I can't do it. I can't take it anymore. I can't go any further in Derek's role. So Rashi calls him Chazal. It's not true. I mean, Lo'uchal od lotzeis v'lavo. Moshe Rabbeinu was in better shape than most of us. He climbs a mountain in one shot. He wasn't bent over. He wasn't old. His eyes were better eyesight than me. I could barely see the papers. I'll take off my glasses. He's in great shape. His face wasn't wrinkled. His eyes weren't diminished. He was in perfect tip-top shape. The ripe old age of 120. So what do you mean? Let's say slow. But he can't walk a couple of blocks over the Yarden. What's the answer? Because Baruch Hu said you can't go. But Uchal, I can't. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, Lo Uchal. I can't. I just can't. There's nothing physically stopping me. Kodesh Baruch Hu stopping me. That's the greatest Lo Uchal. So there is a double machlekes here between Rashi and the Rambam, a major machlekes. As to everybody agrees that the sandal shell of Edizara of your Nidachas or Tikravis is no good. Rashi says it's no good not because it's a Holech Boy. That's the wrong. The reason why it's no good is Ksusa Bechta Shirei. And the Rambam says, no, the reason why it's no good is not because of Ksusa Bechta Shirei. So we understand the Machlekes Rashi and the Rambam about the Hagdara of Ein Yochel Halachboy. The Rashi says that's only a function of Metzias, and the Rambam extends it to Halacha, but that's not even our sugya, that was just a sideshow. The other Machlekes is the more important Machlekes for us, namely, how come the Rambam veered away from Ksusa Bechta Shirei? If the Rambam gave his view, then clearly Rashi's view was wrong. What's wrong with Rashi's track? Says Rav Tashuri. Why did Rambam have to go make up another reason of any Yochel Halachboy? What is chaser with Ksusa Mechta Shiure? Isn't there a shear to Chalitza Shul? So comes the Kesef Mishnah and says, there is, but not really. So it says the Kesef Mishnah, the sixth in the Rambam comes. But the Kesef Mishnah says that the shear of Chalitza Shul is not in the same league as the shear of Shofar Lulav. The bold print. The low damul shayfa velulav sheshem shir katsuv. That's the word. What does katsuv mean? Set. Kitzvah. V'chi eimim v'shreifa mech t'shirei. Kloimar. Hu chasem ishiur ha-katsuv loy. Aval asandol d'chalitza. The leislan shir katsuv. El ha-godol l'fi godloy. V'ha-katl l'fi katnoy. Unihidabashir chayfa rav ragloy. the Kesmish, I didn't forget. Don't accuse me of forgetting the Mishnah Yevamos. Kevin Shere and he raised Shuchayfa. Ingmar Abay Shia Kotzav Lamin Ksusay Mechta Shire. This is like what this Kesmish got to read like 10 times over, like digest. I'm just sitting, you know, just let it seep into your kishkes. This Kesmish. Mishnah is Pshat and that's a Rambam. Not all shiurim are created equal. Just because there's a number, a measurement, something that has to be met in terms of a physical reality, that does not translate to mean that's a sheer hakos of a Torah to apply the principle of Ksuzim after shiurim. It says against Mishnah, two kinds of shiurim. There's a sheer kotzov. Every lulav has to be four tvachim. It doesn't matter whether you're tall or you're short. Every esrog has to be kegels, a kebetz, everything the shears, doesn't matter how big you are. Every shofar's got to be the size of a tefach, doesn't matter whether you have a small mouth or a big mouth. Those are shirim ketsuvim. And a shirim ketsuvim, then there's a halachic concept called shirim ektashirei. Chol zman does a shir kotzuv, al zen nemer, it's kilu it's sarv, kilu it's pile of ashes, and the shear is chaser, and it's possible that taira. A chalitza shoe has to be a certain size, but not a specific size, in the sense of it has to be big enough to fit your foot, but if you're a size 4, so be it. If you're a size 16 and a half wide, so be it as well. Whenever you have a shear that's not a shear kotzuf, it's a shear deraisa. If you do a chalitza with a shoe that's too big, too small, you're not yet to be a Torah. The woman's yevama shook with deraisa. Just a mountainous. Chalitza's psula with deraisa. The alpha bichain, this nishkin shear kotzuf, this nishkin shear kotzuf, this nishkin suspect shear. So by saying we now have three things on our spectrum. We have on one corner, we have a get, where there's no shear whatsoever. I mean, the mitzvah says you have to have a piece of paper you can write on, but that's not even called a shear. I can't even use the term shear concerning a get. So al zeh, kuliyamala pligi to the round you say, there's no din says bet shear. You have a lulav and a shofar, all the under extreme, that are a shear kotzuv, and then kuliyamala pligi that's din says bet shear. Then you have items that have a shear, but it's not a shear kotzuv. It's not a shear kotzuv, it's a machlekes Rashi in the Rambam. Is that subject to the shear? So Rashi says explicitly yes, and the Rambam, by searching for another reason, says in effect is telling us no. So very, very important, double machlekes Rashi and Rambam, a real whopper of machlekes Rashi and Rambam, tucked away in Yevamos Kuf Gimel. You have to give a lot of credit to Chazal for thinking of illustrating this bizarre case. If not for this chalitza with a shoe of the Kromos of Benazor, we wouldn't have known that there's a major machlekes Rishon how to define any yochla halachboy. Is it a halachna nature or mitzias in nature? And we would not have been privy to this information that there's a concept within the sugya of susmet teshurei, a difference between a shir kotzav versus not a shir kotzav. And that gufa is a machlekes Rashi. Everyone knows right away. As soon as you saw right away, give the chaf, this is the place to go. You got to rip the yavam stuff of kimmel. Rabbi said we are not done with that spectrum yet. I want to create a fourth category on that spectrum of chafatzim sheish lam shir. And I want to understand the rush. So there's a Gemara in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, the third parak. And the Gemara talks about the bare bone minimum size of a shofar. Now, we wouldn't even think about this. Our shofars are very, very big. Even with a shofar, shofars six times the size of what it has to be. Ever see the European shofars? Ever see the old-style shofars? Like an old European shofar. I have one. My grandfather, an old European shofars. I still have it in my house. Next time you come by, I'll show it to you. They're like a third of the size of our shofars. You know what I'm saying? Well, it's like this big. Old shofars are this big. Because it was carved down, it was cut down. It's not that the rams are smaller in Europe. They just carved it down and carved down. So, anyone know why? Why the European shofars were small? Very, very simple.
So you can hide them?
That's tie them. That when you had to run for a pogrom, and you had to grab three or four things in your house that you needed quickly. So one of the things you want to take a shofar, because you don't know where in the world you're going to be getting another shofar in next week, Rosh Hashanah. So you would make them this little stick in the pocket. That's what they used to make the shofars. It was the world that our great-great-grandfather lived in. Okay, anyway. So back to the story. So the Rosh comments at the Gemara Rosh Hashanah that says, the Kamashia Tkiya, it doesn't mean how long the Tkiya has to be, how long the Shia is supposed to be. So the Gemara says, Pirush Rosh Hashanah Gamliel, Kedei Shia Chazenu Biyado, V'yur Lekan Lekan. So the Gemara quotes a Brice of Rosh Hashanah Gamliel, It has to be big enough that it protrudes out of your hand. So you put it inside your hand, and you can see a little bit of it protruding on both sides. So the Rosh Evayla Tefach. So the Rosh is bothered by the Losh of Shubhul, very much the Bryce. So the Bryce says, Kamashitki, how big does the Shofar have to be? So Shimon Gamliel says, the size, Kadesh Shechzeh Biyadai. From a textual point of view, why didn't Shimon Gamliel just say, what? Tefach. We never heard the word Tefach. You don't know how to measure Tefach? We don't. But why didn't you say the word Tefach? Like in all of the areas of Halacha, 4 Tefachim, 3 Tefachim, 10 Tefachim. Who talks in that Lashon of Kadesh Shechzeh Biyadai? So the Rosh says, V'nokad ha'ilish nahocha, Kadesh Shechzeh Nehatekeh Biyadai, V'yel Kalankan, L'farish ha'tam, Shimon Gamliel is trying to highlight where the Shia Tefach came from. It's not an arbitrary Shia. Kedei shechzenu tekeh biyado v'yir l'kan l'kan v'lo yoyimu l'soch yado hu tekeh. Says the Rosh, Shimon Gamliel talked in this roundabout way. Instead of saying the word Tefach, we know the Shia Tefach. It's more need than the Pharisee Shia Tefach. Shimon Gamliel and the Bryce and Roshana didn't use the word Tefach because he's trying to highlight where the Shia Tefach came from. It came as simply a response to the reality that we don't want people blowing into their hands and people to think they're not blowing shofars. So therefore, Kadesh Shechzeh Biyadai V'yir L'kan L'kan. That's where the Shia Tefach comes from. Fascinating Rosh. So comes the Pri Chodosh. There's a kasha in the Rosh. That's Pri Chodosh, I don't say. But Kabbal, that's the reason. Good. Zolzayin, you're right, that's the reason. So I don't understand, says the Pri Chodosh. Why does the halacha of Kesuse Mechte Shiure kick in? At the end of the day, when I'm blowing this shofar, you're nidachas. So the credus of it is over. The Gemara says you're not yaitze because k'susa bech t'shuva. Fairish Gemara Roshanim. Of Kavchas. You're not yaitze with the shayva shal nidachas. You're yaitze with the shayva shal t'kos of it is over because it's k'susa bech t'shuva. Says the Pichadosh, I understand. Will anybody say you're blowing with soch yadoi? The guy's got the shumak, so those little tamani shofars. It's 4 feet long, the shofar. It's coming out from one end of his arm to the other. Everybody realizes he's not blowing the Soch Yadai. So, if you tell me that it's an arbitrary Shia, it's a Shia Tefach, there's no reason, no rhyme, no reason to it. So then you want to tell me, So I believe there's a principle called Ksus Mech Teshirech. Once you tell me that the Shia of Ksus Mech Teshirech, said that the Shia of Tefach is not really a Shia, it's just a way to ascertain, it's just a way for us to be comfortable on Rosh Hashanah, that he's not blowing with Soch Yadai. When that Batakeh gets up and he says, everyone's looking and saying, where's the shofar? I don't see it. What do you mean you don't see the shofar? It's 6 feet in both directions. No, Apidin is Ksus Mech Teshirech. Oh, I don't see it anymore. That's a Mamin. That's a real Lamda. He doesn't see it Ksus Mech Teshirech. That's the Pichosh's Kasha. There's the Rosh. You know what the Pichadish says? He says, it's true that the reason for the Shia Tefach is such and such. It's true. But Lamaisa, it has to be a Tefach. What would the din be if you have a guy who's got a really, really small hand? And you could see the shofar, but it's less than a tefach. You'd measure the shofar from top to bottom, it's less than a tefach. You would not be yotze. Kach nemar halacha kam meshirat kia tefach. So says the Pichadosh, it's true that the reason why the halacha is tefach is because of shlo yireh, but lemaisa, push comes to shove. Shteit and shachor has got to be tefach. So the guy has to take out his tape measure. If you want to know, you have a very small shofar. The guy comes, Rosh Hashanah morning, is about to blow, and the rabbi says, wait, let's measure that shofar. So the rabbi's not going to do a hand test. What's he going to do? He's going to take out his chazan ish, tape measure. Is it a tefach or is it a tefach? That's going to be the shiur. So says the Pichadash, that's the reason why. Even though you're right, the original reason for the shiur tefach was such and such, doesn't matter. Once the halacha requires a shiur tefach, that's the way it is. And if not for the fact that the test that's being done is the tape measure test, if the test really tacha would have been, who wants to use a phrase, right out of the Kesef Mishnah, take the phrase out of Kesef Mishnah, Im Tzlom, the Pichadosh wouldn't have been right. Im Tzlom, the din would have been not a tape measure test, but what? But a hand test. What would we have called that test? Give me a phrase. Give me a phrase. Hagodol what? Hagodol fi gadol v'kadol fi katnoi. Didn't the Kesef Mishnah use that phrase? Did he say that phrase?
Yeah.
Lu yitzuya by shofet, that would have been the din. And the pre-chadish's kasha would have been correct, and the din taka would have been, there's no ksusim after shuri. So what do you see for this pre-chadish? Who's the pre-chadish going like? Who's the pre-chadish? The pre-chadish is saying, taichin rosh. He's saying that, in his kasha, and in his teretz, zeven from pre-chadish, that Ksusimech Teshurei only addresses when you have a Shia Kotzov. It doesn't matter why there's a Shia Kotzov. It doesn't matter what the original rationale was. That doesn't interest me so much. But it's got to be a din for Shia Kotzov. And therefore, since that loch is Kama Shia Tkiya Tefach Finish Gemayu, end of discussion, why that's true, when we write Tamei Mitzvot, we'll figure out why it's true. But Tachas, at the end of the day, the Shia is Nemar in terms of a Shia Kotzov. But if it wouldn't have been that way, if a taka would have been a golafi 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 kodnoi, then it would have been a shayfa, would have been the halach equivalent of a chalitza shoe, with the Rambam holds, this taka no did, it's just a shuri. So with this prichodesh and his kasha and his teretz, without telling us this, he didn't relate this to Hilchus Yivam, to Hilchus Chalitza. But we're relating it. We realize right away, when you read a prichodesh and choshofer, you can't just read a prichodesh and choshofer. You have to read the prichodesh and choshofer through the eyes of the machlekes Rashi and the Rambam and Hilchus Chalitza. It's the same kind of an issue. It's the same kind of a nuance. A shia kotzuv, ksus bech teshuri. A shia eno kotzuv, nisht, ksus bech teshuri. Could one argue with the Pichadosh? Does anybody we know argue with the Pichadosh? I think for sure argues with the Pichadosh. Who says that there's maybe there's no system at the Shira? Even though it is a Shira Kotzer. Do we know of anybody? We have to watch the Sigi to develop a little bit more. So what do we have as of now? As of now, we have three categories. We have get on the one extreme, which is what? There's no shia kihuzeh, nothing, gum, bupkis, garnished. Therefore, what halacha does not appear anywhere at all vis-a-vis Hilchos Gittin? Shizu Bech Teshuvah. With all the way to the other extreme, it's a shia kotzuv, with an objective shia, no rhyme, no reason, lulav, and shol. Lo lulav, okay, we'll leave lulav over there for now. So therefore, this for sure is a metashur. Shofar is a funny one. Shofar is a little bit of a tricky one. Is it shia kotzov? But there's something bothering us about this. Because somewhere in the back of our minds is what? Is that the reason that we got to the shia kotzov is not halachic in nature so much, but we got there. So because you got there, Don't ask any questions. You got there. I have a ha'ara to make on the Helge Helge Chavetz Chaim, Helge Be'alocha, Helge Bal Mishaburu. Ha'ara. The Be'alocha wants to know, according to the Rush, let's say I have a shofar, the taka does not protrude from my hand on both sides. So, the Marshal's Kamashit, give me the shofar, possible at Torah, possible at Rabban. Come on. Joke or shy? What's possible at Rabban only? That's a deraisa dika halacha. Shema Yomru Gezeira Shema Yomru Sach Yadut Akeh. The joke is nice. Shirum Deraisa when Yimtsu the Moshe Besinai. But I ask you, is Kazayis Matzah Shir Deraisa? What's the other? Of course it's Shir Deraisa. Shirum Chatzim Bechitzlach Moshe Besinai. If I ask you, is the Shir of Dal Ramas and Shabbos a Shir Deraisa? Of course it's a Shir Deraisa. If I ask you, is the Shir of Ten Tfachim a Shir Deraisa? Of course it's a Shir Deraisa. Whatever is Nimsa the Moshe Rabbeinu, but least Shum Tam, of course those are Allah Moshe Besinai. Of course those are Dirim Deraisa. If the Rosh would have said, you know why I need a Shir Tefach? Because Kach Nimsa the Moshe Rabbeinu Bar Sinai, I would have said, good, so it's a Deraisa. But the Rosh would have said, the Rosh gives you a whole reason why. Because we're afraid, the guy's going to come to the shul, he's going to blow the shofar, someone's going to think he's blowing to his hand, next year they won't have a shofar. That's a very drabonish dick of reason. Very, very non-deraisa for me. So it's clear that the whole sheer shofar, lock, stock, and barrel, according to Rush, is only a sheer drabonim. If so, if I have a shofar shell, is that shofar possible in a Torah with the Rabbanan? You must say it's possible. Why is it possible? Because of Kisus say what? So, but if the whole Shia was only needed with the Rabbanan, then how could that Shofar be possible with the Raisa? Right? According to the Rosh, a Shofar on the level of the Raisa, the Beis Din and Moshe Rabbeinu Shul and Rosh Hashanah, a Shofar is the halachic equivalent of a what? Give me an emotion. It's a halachic object that basically has what? Know what? No shear to it. Right? There's no shear to it. If the Rosh is right, that the whole reason for the shear of a tefach is that means in the world of Moshe Rabbeinu, pre Beis Din HaGadol, some Beis Din HaGadol between the days of Moshe Rabbeinu and the Mishnah, why they made this takana? Okay, we understand. So at some point in history, some Beis Din decided, you know what, let's make a takana that we're afraid people are going to get confused. Make it the kind of Yishia Tefach. But in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu Yishuv Benun, they were blowing shofars that were less than a Tefach. And that was perfectly okay. So now, if you're going to tell me, the Gemara says, Rosh Hashanah Kavchas, that we have a Shefer Shel Yoni Dachas, or a Shefer Shel Tekovas of the Nazar, it's possible, because the Ksus of Mech Teshure, that cannot be a Din Deraisa. If Din Deraisa is no Shia, so Din Deraisa, a shofar is like a get. Isn't that obvious to everybody? Poshut, right? No, isn't that Poshut? No, it's the Pshitad Boy. So Mishibur can't deal with it. Can't take it. Mishibur is very, very upset. Because the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, a sheifer shell yenidachas, hustle. A sheifer shell tikkurat vezar, hustle. Mishnah Berurah didn't think it just means possible with the Rabbani. He couldn't believe it means possible with the Rabbani. So you know what Mishnah Berurah did? Listen to it. Who had the Mishnah Berurah? Everyone got this Be'alocha? This is Be'alocha. Eight in Ramakabis. Veda, the bold print. Veda oid. The Afa Rosh Hashur the Tefach with the Rabbani. Yikobogam gamle didei tzor shir min ha-Torah. The Rosh never meant to say there's no Shia Deraisa. He just meant to say that the big, huge Shia of Tefach is on in the Rabbanan. What's the Shia Deraisa? Listen to the Shia Deraisa. Mishabu just made up. Yesh V'yayin, the Shia Deraisa. Kedei Shia Evshar Litkoa Bo Al Koponim. It has to be big enough what? Look, if it's a tiny, teeny, weeny, weeny, weeny piece of ram's horn, it's not going to blow. That's the Shia Deraisa. That's the reason why Midaraisa, the Shof Shel Nidachas is possible, because it's lacking that Shia Deraisa of Kedei Litkoya Bo. So I understand. I feel for the Heilige Heilige Chofetz Chaim. Well, we did say with great trepidation, awe and trepidation. So we understand where the Chofetz Chaim is coming from. Because he's looking at the Gemara says, Shofar Shel Nidachas, Shatkoz, but it's a puzzle. Puzzle sounds like it's really, really bad. It sounds like Moshe Rabbeinu wouldn't sanction the Shofar. And yet the Rosh is telling us a story that now I'm in the Rabbanan, the whole Shia is the Rabbanan. How could the big Susu Mechshir the Rice if the whole Shia is the Rabbanan? So Chofetz Chaim made up another Shia. The Shia is Kedem Kleber. It's not a Shia Katsuf. Not only is it not a Shia Katsuf, it's less than a Shia Katsuf. What is it? It is a perfect halachic replica of what? Of a get. You need a piece of paper. If you can't write the words on the paper, it ain't going to work. And what does the Ran say? This is the Shnei Shir. It's the Matzias. That's just a technical, that's a technicality. It's a technical Matzias. It has to be big enough to use, big enough to blow, big enough to make a sound. What's the Mokka for the Shir Deraisa Kedei Litkoya Bo? Where did that come from? Where did it come from? The Torah says you have to hear a sound. There's no sound. There's no sound. It's not going to be good enough. Is this Nishkan Shir? There's a Metzias and Dvarim. Does Nishkan Shir? Nishkan Ksusimech to Shiri. I never understood this. Helig, Helig, Alon, Chavetz Chaim. It's a Pelagodl, no? Is it possible? Everyone read this B'Alacha. Who read this B'Alacha in the Choshefer? Right? He read this B'Alacha in the Choshefer and he really read it against the Ran and Asugi. I don't understand.
Did the Rambam saying the same thing that he says by Chalitza Shu, but he just doesn't flesh it out here?
Rambam, who Rambam?
It's not a shofar if it's not able to be used.
It's a Rambam, it's a Rambam. Rambam said it.
No, but the same thing that we...
Wait, hold on. Hang for a second. So basically, I still have three categories on the table here. I have things that don't have any shear whatsoever, and the key is that garnish or garnish. Mitzias, yeah, of a shear nisht legamre shear. No relevance of a shear accuser. Those are gittin, and the fiyadi is daiti, according to the Rosh, but the Rai sets a shofar also. Unlike the hilul of the shibur. That's one extreme. The other extreme, I got my lulav, the only thing that's left on the board is my lulav. It says a shear kotzov without any reason, no rhyme, no reason. Does exist in that shear. And then I have this funny chalitza shoe in the middle that Epis has a shear to it, but it's a funny kind of shear. I'll go if you go, come if you caught noy. So Machlik is Rashi in Rambam, where that fits kind of in the middle. And the Pichodosh, in his analysis of the Rosh, is kind of putting that in the same category as that chalitza shoe a little bit, that the shear is taka not go if you go low. It's a little bit different. But I want to raise the following question, a very, very important question. I want to know, what do I have an item that Lemais has a shir kotzev? At the end of the day, there is a shir kotzev to it. So it's not quite the chalitza shu. But the reason for the shir is a very, very Olam Hazadika reason. The halacha is kevea a shear for something based on some very real practical ramifications of something in this world, this very this worldly. I'll tell you a secret. Just because this item in the lens of halacha is kesusim ech to shure, but the mitzias reason that the shear was trying to accomplish will be accomplished. Sometimes you have a shear that's not trying to accomplish anything. Why does an esek have to be kibetza? Zishtet. Why is luv up before tvachim? Hadassah rov is three tvachim. Zishtet. Is there any rhyme and reason or anything that's, I mean, maybe there's reasons in Elul Shalyim, there probably are reasons for everything in Elul Shalyim. There are definitely reasons, but, you know, but our world, and the world of Lomdus, we have no reason, we have no idea why. So when you have shiurim that are not just shiurim ktsuvim, but the shiurim ktsuvim with no relevance to Elam Hazer, that I understand ganz good, das ist ktsusimech to shiurim. Because when you have a shiur kotsuv that has no relevance to Elam Hazer, so you're looking at the world, this chefta to the eyes of halacha. So when you're looking at something to the eyes of halacha, then you can look at the chisarm shiur to the eyes of halacha as well. What if I have a particular shiur, this is category number 3.5 over here, I have a chefta shal mitzvah, an item that the halacha requires to be used, and there's a shiur kotzev to it. So this is a potential problem, even with the Rambam, potential smet shiurim. At the end of the day, I know why I need the shear. The shear is necessary to satisfy a certain mitzias concern and consideration. And when I have a system of teshurei, I have satisfied that halachic concern and consideration. Is that called system of teshurei? So l'chora, what's a good example of that? Something that there's a shear. It's a shear kotzum. It's got to be there. It's got to be X. And you're going to measure it with a measuring rod. It's got to be X. But I know ganz good why I have to get to X. Because I'm concerned with some kind of a mitzias alam hazadik concern. Is that a candidate for shear? Excuse me, shear or not? What's the answer? Give me an example of that. Give me an item that has a shear kotzum. But I know ganz good why I need that shear kotzum. It's for pure mitzias concerns and considerations. And yes or no, suspect shiurim. Give me an example. We were talking about it. Give me one. Give me a chafetz shel mitzvah. Give me an item in halacha that meets all of it. Shof according to who? According to the Rosh. We know for a fact that there's a din in Tzitzmet Shira and a shofar. That's a Gemara and Rosh Hashanah Kepchesh. You cannot argue that. We're not going to go down to Mishnah Berurah Shtikl Torah because we don't understand the Halakha Mishnah Berurah Shtikl Torah. We're going to take the Rosh Kepshutai that the Shir that Chazal are addressing is the Shir of Tefach, and it's the Shir Tefach Shaboy that creates Kuzak Shir. Maybe only Midrabbanan, maybe in a Chanami, maybe the Shofar is possible with Midrabbanan, maybe. But there's a Shir, and the Pichadish told us it's Shir Kotzov. It could be Shir Kotzov from today till tomorrow, but the Shir Kotzov emanates from what Rabbi said. What was the goal of the Shir Kotzov? To address a certain mitzias. What was the mitzias? Not the blow, but I have this tremendous 10-foot long Temani shofar. It happened, somebody happened to have been brought it to an idol. It came from near Nidachas. Tachlis, just answer the question. Is anyone going to say Tzach Yadu Utakeh? Just answer the question. No lumbus. No one's going to say that. And what does the Gemara say? It's still what?
Possible.
Still possible. So from the Rosh, you see Klor, that an item, as long as that's Shir Kotzov. If it doesn't have Shir Kotzov, then we can discuss Rosh and Rav and Yevamos. But the minute that it passes the test of a Shir Kotzov, I don't care where that Shir Kotzov came from. I don't care what the goal of that Shir Kotzov, I don't care what concern the Shir Kotzov is a result of. A Shir Kotzov translates it into Zubat to Shirin. Who could argue with this? It's a Mefarish Gemara. The Gemara says, Susmech Shir by Shofar. Who could argue with it? I'll tell you who could argue with it. Anyone who argues with who? If you argue with who? What? Who could argue with what I just said? Who could say no? If the Shir Kotzov comes about through a Metzias, that's not a candidate for Susmech Shir. Who could dare argue with it? It's Mefarish Gemara, the Shofar. What's the answer? If you argue with who? What? Who said it? Say one name. I hear whispers. Say it loud, loud. What? Say it loud, loud, loud. Guys, say it. Yeah, thank you. The Rosh. Who said the Rosh is right? Who said the Shir Shofar of Tefach has anything under the sun to do with Shlo Yom HaSach Yadu Takeah? The Rosh made it up. The Rosh got it from a Diyakim, Shiva Gabliya, with a Brisa, a Maisalach, a story in Rosh Hashanah, third parent. Other Rishonim would say, what are you talking about? The Shir Tefach. Who said anything about Kadesh Yom Yom and Masach Yadu Takeah? The Rosh made it up, Yishmeyayin. If you disagree with the Rosh, they probably Rav Rishon probably disagree with the Rosh. And you hold that the Shir Tefach is a Shir Derais, it's a Nimsul Meshavein, Meharsin, it's a Shir Tefach, it's no different than the Shir of what? It's no different than a Lulav Shir. So then you have no Raya from the Gemara that a Shir Kotzov that's rooted in Metzias, the subject, that's just the Shurim. Maybe the other name. I have no idea. According to Rashi, of course, there's two Zemech Shurim, because Rashi says even when it's not a Shir Kotzov, Rashi says, even back in the Chalitza Shu, which is not in the Shir Kotzov, that's rooted in Metzias, according to Rashi, Susmech Shur. But where did the Shita say Rambam? When the Rambam that says that there's no Susmech Shur by Chalitza Shu, it could be there's no Susmech Shur by other Chafotzim, as long as the Shia is rooted in Metzias. So we have four categories on the board now. We have one extreme, we have something where there's no Shia at all. Zero Shia whatsoever. And is a Metzias? Metzias is a Gornish. That's not a Shia B'chlal. You can write get on this tiniest piece of paper and it's good l'chadchil, as long as you can read it. So that zichad oksus mefturim, whatsoever, and mishabur by shofar, we tap it, don't understand. The other extreme, lulav was the only case, lulav, aravas, hadasa, those kinds of stuff, which are shiurim, ktsuvim, belish, shum, tam, shum, tzias, kihuz, those are for sure candidates of service. Those are the only two things that we know for sure. And in between, case two and case three, one is a sheer that exists, that's rooted in Matthias, that's a kind of a Shia Golofi 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 Kotno. So Rash says, that's also Kusubek Tishuv. That's Rash's Tranyavans. And the Rambam says, no. So we want to know within the worldview of the Rambam that no, the Golofi 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 is no. What would the Rambam say about a Shia that's a Shia Kotzov, but the Shia Kotzov is rooted in a Matthias? So the only raya we have to apply Kesuzmech Shira to such a kind of a Shia is the Rosh, but that's only banking on the fact that the Rosh's, the Shita in Rosh Hashanah is correct, that the Shiva Shofar is taka based on that. It's taka based on that reason of Shlo Yayru. If Nafla is said Nafla Bidin, if the Rosh is not right, then we do not know the answer to category number three. We're still in a question mark in category number three. So now everyone realizes we have four categories on the board. One is obvious, four is obvious, two is the Bechol Drash and Rabbam, and three is a one big question mark. Only according to the Rosh do we have any indication what the din is. Once you leave the realm of the Rosh, we have no idea what the answer to that question is.
According to the other Rishonim, why does this Gemara that the Rosh holds talk about the reasoning behind the Shir as opposed to a case of Hadula and Asri itself?
You're a Rosh man. You're convinced the Rosh did a good job on you. He brainwashed you to think that the Gemara is saying, why? It's odd to know. It's odd to know. It's odd to know why. Other Rishonim have to put it to this Rosh.
If you get ink from here in Nachas or something and then write two letters,
I gotta think about that one. That's a toughie. Gotta look for Michael Schilich about that one. I don't know.
And then also with the
Ramban. Also, I just can't found the first one yet.
The Ramban, we were talking about Sirtu. We said today we crossed the hand. And interestingly, we said that Shiur for it is the ability to be able to read it. So shouldn't we be able to use either those two to find an analog escape interruption?
I don't know, it's too complicated. Well, too much. I don't know. I was blown away yesterday by the Sirta. Everyone saw that? Everyone saw the Sirta on the deck? That was very cool.
He's doing the hands.
No, but you saw he had on the background, he had like a block which had lines on it, and he was just like scratching. He had his fingers? What was he doing with
his finger?
It wasn't exact.
It was a board that had lines on it.
I couldn't see on the video what he was doing with. I was like, wow, Sirta. You don't need Sirta to make it anyway. It's a mimic that Sirta. Anyway, I was like, waiting for the Chakteches or something. Some heavy duty stuff. Okay, I want to see whether he's a lefty, righty lefty stuff.
It's
a Minot. Did you notice that Nusach of the Tzibri Yaget, by the way? You notice what the reason to offset that Vishkas Yaakov when his Mitzavah to get. You know, notice that the lashon was, you tell the, I'm appointing you to write a get, and if there's a mistake in the get, you have the right to write another get. Any get to the point that once it's declared kosher by the Masada get, that's to offset that Mishir's out. No one should come and say, hi, you didn't write Lafi, only Hidur, and therefore it's no good. Right, that's it. What?
What?
No. I'm saying, that we word it in such a way that the standard of the get should, nobody should think the standard has to be a high standard. Whatever the Masada get says is good enough, there's a tzivya bal on that. So that's a minik that kind of puts to rest the Mishkas Yachal. That's the Mishkas Yachal points. Okay. Everybody says we got a lot of work. We got category number three to figure out. We got a lot of work tomorrow for the show. Okay. Tomorrow we have a special on dissipated.
Share lunch.